Isn't there like a burger place or a place around here that has had the same vat of oil for like 100 years?
It's news to me.
Yeah, I think there's like a place that like that.
I wouldn't give out the name because a lot of people listen to this show and radio station.
Well, no, I think that's the I think that's the selling point.
Yeah, but wouldn't the health department have something to say about that?
No, I think if you
you're
keep
using
it,
the same oil,
if you
for
keep it hot
years,
the whole time, like I think that's the like the point.
I
of the
don't
restaurant.
Think that's how it works.
I'm wrong.
Used to own a restaurant.
I thought I saw this on
and
like
we never turn the fryers off; they always stay on.
Okay,
they may not be all the way up,
yeah,
but they're always being heated at some level.
I think I saw something on Food Network about a place that has had
that
same
100-year-old
something
oil?
Like that. Yeah, something like that.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
If you went to a place, they're just getting a burger and fries.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, do you want the fries in the 100-year-old oil or fresh, clean oil?
Right.
Which way are you going?
If they make a selling point of the idea that this is why it's so flavorful, like cast iron pans, right? You don't clean it for decades.
Right.
They've been seasoned for forever.
Okay, so there's a place in Memphis, Tennessee, called Dyer's Burgers, D-Y-E-R.
Okay.
Dyer's Burgers is famous for deep frying burgers in a continuous seasoned cooking grease that dates back to the restaurant's opening in 1912.
There you go.
Good call, Paul.
Yeah, I saw it on Food Network once.
That's
you would go there and try that?
Oh, I think you have to try.
I think you have to.
I mean, anything fried's good.
Yeah.
Fried burger. In I guess that's about 100 years.
More
1912 to now. How many years is that? 1912 to now, 78 plus 25. 100. It's like 314 years.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's a lot of years of oil.
That's a lot of years of oil.
Yeah.
Now we gotta get that flown in.
Here's
come on, get
Jennifer.
Working on it.
I'm on it. Yeah. Jennifer's in Beachwood. Jennifer, what's happening, Cookie?
Hey, Craig. I'm so happy to talk to you guys.
Hi, Jennifer.
Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm just checking to see if you guys are going to do the pig spanking again, because, you know,
yeah,
I was all about that with
so
you
it's,
guys.
It's interesting that what people that may not know what you're referencing, every year for better than a decade, I would do a parking lot pig spanking. You were part of a couple of them.
Yes.
Before one Jet game, before one Giant game. And I'm proud to say we were 37-0.
Mm-hmm.
Never lost the football game when we did a pig spanking. It might be
so
the
true
only thing from past shows that Big Mac and I bring back.
Okay.
Because we need wins.
We're desperate
for wins.
I am not above slapping a pig for a win.
Right.
I am not above
so,
that.
Jen, if you agree to come out to it again, and obviously,
yes,
you know, show us your boobs and all that stuff, and spank the pig with us, then you have my word, we'll bring the pig spanking back, okay?
I will 100% do that because it's the only time we get wins, and I need it. So,
yes,
big Giants fan, season tickets. I need to have that pig spanking back.
We'll do it next September or October. No problem. We'll work it out with the Giants. And you got to wait about 9 months, but I got you covered, baby, okay?
All right. And, Craig, thank you so much. I watch your show at 11 o'clock as well. So
thank you very much.
I appreciate you and everything you do.
I appreciate you as well. That's more of a national show. It's a podcast, but I do appreciate the fact that you watch it. You know, this segment's sponsored by Dr. Jay Shah at Samuel Payne Management. Visit Samuel Payne. .com. Great to have them back with me and Chris here as well. Here's Bobby in Yonkers. Bobby, good afternoon. How are you?
Welcome, Craig. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Welcome, Big Zoo. I cannot see AG coming back from getting rid of Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and DJ Reed and saying he had no talent, right? And then hiring Steve Wilks, who was one and done in Arizona, saying that was his experience. I mean, they're not that
San Francisco
smart,
also.
Right? As the coordinator, but he's the head coach, one and done in Arizona. Yeah.
Yo, Bobby, I'm with you. Here's what's weird. Let's just go through it real quick. I'm not upset. I wasn't upset when the Jets as an organization made a decision that we're not going to go to year three with Aaron Rodgers. I don't care for the way they did it because it was classless to do it if it happened the way that Aaron Rodgers described it happening. And nobody's ever pushed back on that story. So I'm assuming that's exactly how things went down when Aaron came from California and in 10 seconds was told, we're not bringing you back. My bigger issue is it's okay to have decided Aaron Rodgers wasn't right for us. I have no issue with that at all. It was a failure. Year one, not his fault because of the injuries under Robert Saleh. Year one under our year two, pardon me, under that same regime, the whole thing went to poop, right? Mm. What I am upset about is the collective decision making that if you're not going to bring Aaron Rodgers back, we had to do better than Justin Fields. 100%. That's my problem.
Yeah, and listen, I think, but I had a problem with the Aaron Rodgers thing. I thought it would have helped. Right now, it would be someone to blame, right? Instead of the coach, you could say, listen, it didn't work with Aaron Rodgers. We tried. He was under contract. He still was willing to play. He was better than any other option they had out there. One of my bits maybe you would have been proud of if you listened. I spin the wheel of quarterback garbage every day during the Jet looking
for
quarterback.
Did you have an actual wheel?
I had the wheel sound effect. I didn't actually have the wheel. Well, we played the wheel sound effect.
Not as good, should've but okay.
Anyway. I mean, Justin Fields stinks. I would have kept him. I would have kept Davante Adams. I would have tried to win this year. They were desperate for some wins and have some credibility with the coach. Sure. Like if they got a couple of wins, you'd feel better about Aaron Glenn and moving forward now. Yes. And I know his contract, everything else, you could have figured it out, but I agree with you. But no question. Forget the Rodgers part. This is now a regime that's going to have to find a quarterback, plain and simple. Whether it is like our first caller stumbled through.
Well, it's got to be the draft.
I think it's the draft, 100%.
You're picking second.
You got to get a quarterback.
And
right?
I don't want to hear that there's only two of them. I also don't want to hear that Dante Moore doesn't want to play for the Jets. Yeah. I think that's a nonsense story. Mm-hmm. I don't buy it. If you're going to be the second pick in the draft and be guaranteed, what, $40, $50 million, you're coming out and you're playing for the Jets with a smile on your face, right?
Absolutely. And who cares if he doesn't?
Yeah,
he'll
exactly.
come here and play.
You want to play professional football, we're drafting you.
Absolutely.
Right? So I'm with that. I hated that report anyway.
Yeah, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him to develop a quarterback. I don't trust him.
Okay, so let me ask you this. And I know you're speaking as a Giant fan, but you get it.
Yeah.
So the next, I suppose, biggest talent decision that the Jets have is Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if you're Breece Hall, I want to be very fair to Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come back.
Absolutely.
Because my career is not going to be 15 years long. I'm a running back. I've already had a major injury in my career, and I ran for 1,000 yards again with a bad football team, right? If I'm Breece Hall, you have to overpay me now for me to come back. And that would be a knock on Muji, where there was an opportunity this last trade deadline, because a lot of teams were looking for a running back, most notably the Kansas City Chiefs needed a running back. I'm not saying it would have changed the way things happened, but they needed a running back when they were still alive for a playoff push. And we didn't make a trade with them or anybody else. Meaning, Muji was willing to go to free agency and lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
If they do lose him for nothing, this could be a horrendous comparison. Beat me up later. How is that any better than the Giants losing Saquon for nothing?
Other than Saquon's a more talented back, that's it.
Right?
I don't disagree.
And
we destroyed the Giants for doing that. Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
But they
didn't want to. Like, I think here's the difference, though. They didn't want to pay what market value was for Saquon Barkley.
Correct.
The Jets will do it. The Jets have enough cap space. The Jets will do it. The question will be, does he want to come back? Because I agree with you. If you've heard him speak the entire year, he is fed up. I don't think there's any chance. As you said, the running back, this is his last contract. Running backs don't get third contracts.
Yep.
It's the rarefied air of the Derrick Henrys and guys like that. You are not getting a third contract. This is the last opportunity he has to make a name for himself in his career. He's going to want to do something here. He doesn't want to stay with this lousy organization that has now traded away his buddies, like the whole bit. And they didn't want to trade him for one simple reason. What is the offense? Despite wanting to get value,
right?
They could not roll out there, and they might as well have, looking back on it with how the games went. They would not have had an offense. They knew the quarterbacks they were going to throw out.
Right.
They knew it.
Right.
And if they went out there and traded away the one running back, the one offensive talent after losing Garrett Wilson to injury, they would have had zero offense. And I think at some level they felt like they couldn't afford to trade away the one last bastion of talent in the entire organization.
And it's funny you mentioned Garrett Wilson. It's a crazy stat. I know every Jet fan has now seen it because it made the rounds, went viral somewhat on social media. Do you know that Garrett Wilson hasn't played since week 6?
Right.
And he still leads the Jets in receiving yards this year?
Crazy.
With 300 some odd yards? Yeah. Let that sink in. They played 17 games.
Yeah.
He only played in 6 of them. And not a full 6, by the way.
Right.
And in the next 11 games, no receiver had over 300 yards receiving.
They had multiple.
So if you're Breece Hall, bring it back to him.
Yeah.
there are going to be a handful of teams. You're the best running back on the market.
Yeah.
Period. Stop.
Yeah.
There's going to be half a dozen teams that are going to look at him and go, you're our starting running back, and we're giving you the ball 18 to 23 times a game, guaranteed. And, oh, by the way, we have a quarterback. We have an offensive line, and you're going to flourish here.
Yeah.
And bye-bye. And this is one of those times, don't get mad at Breece Hall when he does it.
Nope.
Don't get mad at Breece Hall when he doesn't return Muji's phone calls. Don't get mad at Breece Hall when Aaron Glenn begs him to come back and the Jets make him a good offer. Because I'm with you. I think they will make him a decent market share fair offer.
Right.
I ain't taking it.
Nope.
Because I'm going to get the same money or more for a better franchise that gives me a chance to win.
And,
and remember, these are all competitive dudes who get tired of losing.
Of course. It goes back to the opening of the show. How does Glenn or anyone with the Jets organization look at the fan base and say, I expect you to trust me, when we all know the team's running back will not?
Right.
Like, they're going to run from this team.
By the way,
they're going to run.
Fans don't trust them.
No.
Players don't trust them.
No.
Who does trust them?
I don't know.
Like, we should go on a tri-state audio search, Dr. Doofenshmirtz, and try to find a living human being.
Yeah.
That has some level of trust in the New York Jets.
You will not
some level of trust.
I can't imagine finding one that has trust that this organization is going to turn it around in the next year. They've got to hope the quarterback is right. That's it.
But I was thinking about this after our brilliant interview yesterday with James Dolan, who has not spoken publicly in 3 years prior to sitting down with me and you. When's the last time Woody Johnson did? Now, I think he does once a year with a hand-picked reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it was Connor Hughes or like an Ian Rappaport. I'm not sure who it was. I may have just made up a name there. But this, to me, when things aren't going well,
right,
and you make yourself available through the media to the fan base, I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fan base, well, it doesn't change how upset we are when we're not winning. I think the fan base respects the fact that an owner, GM, et cetera, coach, is willing to make themselves available when things suck. It's easy to be available and do appearances at local delis, you know, when things are going great. Like when you're Tommy DeVito and you can sell pasta sauce at Telercio's in Middletown because you won a couple games, awesome.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
When you suck and you throw 5 interceptions, I'd like you to show up.
Yeah.
Like, well, when's the last time Woody Johnson spoke to the media?
He spoke to a media throng at the owner's meetings. I think they were 0-7 at the time.
Okay, so he did.
He did. He was at the owner meetings and he spoke. That's where he got those quotes that made the rounds about it's hard to win when your quarterback can't complete a pass.
He took a shot at Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, and that became a thing. That's the last time he spoke. I don't think he sat down with the local New York media specifically.
So if I reached out to the Jets, and I'm blessed to have a very good relationship with them,
right,
and I said, 0 to 100. What are the odds that Woody Johnson would do what James Dolan did yesterday?
Yeah.
Came right in, sat down in between us. There were no rules to that interview. Ask me anything you want, and I'll do my best to answer them. 0 to 100.
Yeah.
If I ask the Jets of having Woody Johnson come in studio and sit to once and for all talk to Jet fans, what do you think the odds are?
There's no number lower than zero?
No, zero. Zero's as low as we go.
He would zero.
Zero. Zero. You don't even think it's like 5?
Nope.
Zero. Like a non-starter.
Now, no. Non-starter.
All right,
I can't imagine.
What if I did this? What if I extended the invitation to his son, who's making a lot of Jet decisions based on what he reads on Reddit?
Yeah.
Do you think he'd come on?
Yeah, if you set
up. I just want Brock Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you set up like a Madden tournament in here, maybe he'd come in.
By the way, I think that's a little snide remark from you.
Was that snide?
That's a little snide remark.
Okay.
I think, and I'm alone on an island perhaps, or me and the Jets are, and Joe Shane now apparently.
Yeah.
I believe that you can learn a lot about football from Madden football.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could.
How else do you handicap players you never saw play before?
Yeah, right.
I go to Madden. Yeah. What's his Madden
rating?
That's
how you know the Jets roster.
By the way, that Madden rating thing is like the Coca-Cola recipe. It's like under lock and key. It's very secretive.
Right.
Like how they come about it, it's legit. Like they're rarely wrong.
Well,
Rarely.
Well, I mean, it's subjective.
Not really.
No?
No.
How do you tell the difference between a 92 and a 94?
Well, or an 80, you don't. I'm a gamer. 80, so you don't play video games. I do.
No, I don't.
Right. I play video games.
I have a job
and
young children. I have a tough
time. I have a job and older children. Yeah, but right. I still play video games.
Okay.
I'm still the best Madden player in my house.
Okay.
And I got kids who should be better than me. They're just not.
No, my 8-year-old son kicks the crap out of me.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah, my kids own me in Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
And now I had both cataracts done because, you know, I'm 38 now. Mm-hmm. And now I can finally compete at Call of Duty
because
I can see the television. But I went through a good 18-month period where, like, in the first 30 seconds, Johnny Bravo, lost our wingman, Johnny Bravo, he's down, dad's down. I'm like, I'm like 30 seconds in, I got Germans killing me. Yeah.
No, we play Madden for about 20 minutes, and I'm like, enough of this. Who's in for chess?
You own him in chess.
Because I own him in chess,
888-808-1019. More of your calls coming up, more in the chats. We'll get to the Giants coming up a little bit later this afternoon as well. Lots cooking here on WFAN.